First Franklin Financial is now open in Millington, offering fixed-rate personal loans up to $15,000 with payment plans to fit any budget. Our same-day approval makes it easy to get your money fast. So the next time you need a personal loan, we're located on Wilkinsville Road in Millington, or visit us at 1ffc.com. All loan terms and APRs depend on meeting our underwriting and income criteria and may require collateral. Same-day approval and funding requires all requested documents by noon. First Franklin Financial Corporation, NMLS 141654. Georgia Residential Mortgage Licensee 5656. Not available in North Carolina.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 10th day of August, Wednesday, 2022. And tonight, we're still here, we're still fighting, we're still the voice of the Christian resistance, and we're more just totally committed than ever, to continue to take this fight right to the enemy's doors. And with that, tonight we have on the board our producer, Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, and way out yonder in Missouri, Pastor Joel Erson.
Your assistant is here, ready to go to work.
All right, we got a lot to do, so let's get right at it. Remember what the title of the message was?
Our God is an awesome God.
Is that for sure?
That is for sure.
Absolutely for sure. And so we're talking about the attributes of God, and boy, I'm going to tell you, there are so many. Well, you could preach a month on these alone, but let's pick it up where we left off, Joe, and that was in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verses 6 through 10.
All right. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
All right, so hear what he says. As we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted up, built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So, is he referring to committing your life to submitting, your complete and total will to the Lord and seeking, seeking to learn from him everything, to learn from all of his teachings?
Amen. And I pray every day for God to guide and direct me in everything I say and do.
What about recognizing the Holy Spirit's power in us? Remember when the Lord Jesus, when he speaks, he will speak of not himself, but of me?
Wait a minute. He will will speak not of himself.
Oh, right.
The Spirit will speak of, yeah, for a second I didn't catch what you were saying.
Okay, so.
Everything goes back to the Father. Jesus spoke only what the Father directed him to, and the Holy Spirit does what the Father orders to.
So he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Okay.
Well, that's what is wrong with our world. It focuses on worldly things. They listen to men that we call philosophers, and we listen to the scientists, and we listen to the pontificators and politicians, and God makes it very clear here, we are to listen to who? Christ, the creator of the universe, that by him and through him all things were made, and by and through him all things in heaven and earth continue on, consist, and yet most of the world listens to some fool. They listen to Adolf Hitler. They listen to Stalin. They've listened to Joe Biden. I mean, can't be more obvious how stupid man is.
Okay, so who would you say today we have would be considered philosophers?
I kind of gave up on that long ago because most of the philosophy and things that I've read, you go back and read and study, and it's like, this is garbage. It's not really worth it. God has a plan for all of us. It's all there. Everything we need is in Scripture.
Okay. Would you consider Klaus Schwab someone who considers himself to be a philosopher?
Well, he considers himself to be extremely knowledgeable and a world leader, and he's going to shape and control the world. I guess you could call that. I don't think it's a philosopher. I think he's a power-mad man who wants to enforce his will on others.
But he would be considered a philosopher.
I guess you'd have to call him that.
Who considers also would, George Soros considers himself a great philosopher. Would you say Bill Gates?
I disagree with both of those guys. I don't think they're either one philosophers. I think, remember Soren Kierkegaard, the man who tried to think of a way to make the world a better place and couldn't do it. So he said, I want to be famous. I want to be known to be a philosopher, a great thinker. So what did he do? I'm going to create a system to make everything more complicated. Since I can't make the world better, I'll make it more complicated. And he did. So there's your philosopher, one of the great ones, Soren Kierkegaard. Couldn't improve the world, but we're going to make it more complicated.
What about
the philosophers have done?
What about Billy Gates and Mr. Fauci?
I don't see them as great philosophers. I see them as power-hungry fools.
Well, he has been considered by the so-called collegians out there today, Bill Gates is to be he's promoted as a philosopher, along with even, believe it or not, Mark Zuckerberg, believe it or not.
Well, it says right there, vain deceit. These are people with a lot of vain deceit. They think very highly of themselves. So
if you go and you say some of these things, they're after the traditions of men. Is there a problem with that within the realm of religions today?
Of course, because the traditions of men, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the desires of man, is lust for power and control and sexual. All these things are not the will of God or not after Christ. So, again, most of the time they're antichrist.
Okay, so if you would say, here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail and with what they call an Easter basket and having an Easter egg hunt. Or how about
deception, that's a tradition of men, but it's a deception. It is really a terrible thing to foist on the children because it takes them far away from God and places it on a worldly plane on a different level and has nothing to do with the truth.
Okay, what about
Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and all that?
So, there was a Saint Nicholas. You know, do know that, okay?
Yes, there was a Saint Nicholas, a man by that name. But again, the Saint Nicholas and what the world thinks of as quote Santa Claus at the North Pole are two totally different stories. I mean,
so you're not going to buy
relationship to the other.
So you're not buying that sleigh with 12 reindeer, right?
No, no, not much.
So what about Frosty the Snowman?
All these things detract from Jesus Christ. You go back to Easter, that's Resurrection, Resurrection Sunday, and more children know about the Easter Bunny than Jesus rising from the dead. And the same thing with Christmas. They know more about Santa Claus than they know about the birth of the Savior. So we've focused on the wrong things for a long time, and then we wonder why the children go astray.
So these are the traditions and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So all of that stuff where you see all the marketing of the witches and the candy and
Thanksgiving, yep.
What about
witches
the
are cool? They ride around on brooms, and oh, it's exciting, and yeah. They make evil exciting and fun, and they draw you away from the truth and closer to reaching into places children shouldn't be going.
Okay, so are witches real?
Scripture said we have witches. So if God says they're witches, then they must be real.
Okay, so we do have witches. I mean, and they're out there promoting their witchcraft, but it's not exactly the way that it is presented in the movies or the media, is it?
No. Again, that's another one of those worldly interpretations that has nothing to do with reality.
So here we go. So the Apostle Paul talks about this when he says through philosophy. Now, was Paul known to be literally one of the great philosophers of his day?
He was a great intellect. He had great knowledge. He would be what I would call a knowledgeable man. They might call him a philosopher, but he was a...
He was referred to as a great philosopher of his day.
Yeah.
So he wasn't against philosophers. He was against vain deceit, wasn't he?
Which most philosophers get into eventually. They get full of themselves, but again, Paul was, well, he had a course correction in life, right?
You might say he saw the light.
Yeah, he saw the light, had a huge course correction, and didn't use much of his philosophy after he found out what the truth was.
Now his philosophy at that point in time was teaching the meanings of life, was trusting in Christ. Now here...
Right.
For in him,
that philosophy, yeah.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So he's referring to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about that, the apostolic union, yesterday, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So now we see that when the Lord Jesus said, the Father and I are one, and when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and they were in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, so here he says this, for, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So here, what do we need? What do we need to be complete other than the teachings of Christ?
The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is what we need. I think all people, you look in this world, and I've realized as I've gotten older, everybody is searching for something. They're searching. And what it is, God left a void where people wanted him, need him. And the trouble is they try and fill that void with adventures, with money, with sex, with excitement, gambling, what have you. They're always trying to fill that void, And that void is wanting to know our Father, wanting to have that personal relationship with Him. And the only way we can really be fulfilled as living beings is to have that relationship with our Father. And that makes it, that means we have to be born again and have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to be complete. Without that, mankind is never complete. It's very simple.
So no Christian needs anything at all in addition to what he has provided, what the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for us to be saved. So in other words,
exactly the truth. That is the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
So the teachings and teachings alone of Christ alone are sufficient. We need nothing at all in addition to that in this lifetime.
That's right.
All right.
I've read a lot of philosophy books. I've read a lot of different things. And in the end, all it does is make me realize just how important the gospel is, what Christ taught, and everything else was maybe interesting and looking at how people saw things. But when it comes down to it, none of the philosophers can offer salvation. None of the philosophers can give you joy, peace, happiness. And none of them can give you everlasting life, and none of them can make you a child of God.
Well, you seem to be getting smarter every program. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2.
I'm recovering from that accident.
All right. Let's go to Philippians 2 and read me verses 5 through 11.
Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath exalted him, and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of all things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
All right, he says here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, he tells you there that if the Holy Ghost is dwelling with us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if we're saved, then we have the mind of Christ. Now,
we have the mind of Christ.
Who being...
We know what he expects of us. We know what he wants us to do. We have our own personal guide. We have our own conscience. And as I said in the beginning of the program, every day I pray to ask God that he would guide and direct me in all things.
So who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. There you go. We've got those two words again, the form and likeness. Remember we talked about that there in Genesis. We had those two words. So here now, when he says that who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So,
well, begotten means the Son. Begotten means coming forth from. So the only begotten of God means the only one that came forth from the physical, coming forth from the spiritual.
Okay, so here when he says this, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So we talked about this, even though you had a chain of command within the Godhead, when it came to the deity, the God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost were equal in their deity.
Right.
But now, that's what this says here. It says here, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Do you know what the NIV says? The Nearly Inspired Version? Do you know what it says?
No, I don't. I can't remember.
Here it is. Here it is. Who, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own.
Totally the opposite, right?
That's right. That's right. You see, did not is the opposite of did who, isn't it?
Right.
Okay. And so here it says exactly the opposite of what the Bible says here. Now, the living translation says this: though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Now listen, if you're God, how could you not think that you're equal with God if you are God?
Yeah. You are. Christ was God. He just left some of the power and some of the majesty in heaven so that he could come and represent, like it said, took upon him the form of a servant. You couldn't have God in all the Shekinah glory coming and appearing as a servant. It doesn't work that way. You know, the King of Kings does not, you know, came as a servant to be the Lamb of God, to be the sacrifice to take away our sins, but the Christ that comes the next time, the second coming.
Well, what he's referring to there is, though, the Lord Jesus continuously taught, and he taught the apostles when he washed their feet. You want to be first. In order to be first, you have to learn to be last, is what he was telling them. He was teaching. And so he's saying this: being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So here again, we see the apostatic, we're looking at the hypostatic union there, that here he was in the form of a man, at the same time he was holy God, and at the same time he was holy man. And that's a very, very difficult thing to try to grasp, but when that takes place in the same body, huh? And so,
well, it's a little above our comprehension how that was done, how it was possible, but same thing with the virgin birth. I mean, with God, all things, Scripture said, all things are possible. And like I said, here's the most powerful being in the universe, humbles himself to come as a servant, showing us what he wants us to be, kind and gentle, and how he wants us to treat others. And yet, here, this most powerful, the power beyond our comprehension, gives us the example of what he expects.
Here, wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow of things. Now listen to this: in heaven, and things in earth. Let me just talk here. And things under the earth. Things under the earth. Now, it's something a lot of people don't realize, but more and more people are living underground. More and more, you're having more and more cities are being built underground nowadays. And it's an amazing thing, but it's hardly spoken of. It's like something that people really don't want to talk about, because moving underground, it's like people that are preparing for some real horrible catastrophe to come up on the earth, and somehow they think that going underground, literally, physically underground, will save them, but it won't. And when he says of things in heaven and the earth, and things under the earth, and every knee shall bow. Now, those knees that are going to bow, some are voluntarily, but some are going to be on broken knees, huh?
Some will be forced, yeah, at a point. They will have to. We will do it willingly. Others will do it because they have to.
Okay, and so every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Some are going to confess it voluntarily. Others are going to confess it, but not because they love the Lord. But they're all going to confess it. Those in heaven, on earth.
Those in hell are going to confess that he is Lord, because everything he said, you know, they know for sure it came true.
Amen. We'll be back right after this with more.
The song you are about to hear is true. Though some of the events described have not occurred in the life of the author, they have occurred in the lives of thousands of other revenue-oppressed Americans. The author disclaims any responsibility or liability for any loss incurred as a consequence of the use and the application of any of the following information, which is not provided for the purpose of rendering any legal advice or professional service. In other words, this song is totally frivolous and without merit.
Not. Last April, right around tax time, along with my 1040 form, sent the IRS a message to tell them they was wrong. And I told them I was sick and tired of playing their cheating game. And as for all my honest, hard-earned wages, to them they never had no claim. Because I never worked in Puerto Rico, nor lived in Washington, D.C. I wasn't under their jurisdiction, and there was nothing they could do to me. Since I've never ever been an employee of the federal government, I ain't liable for, no subject to, no, I've never owed you one red cent. But let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now it didn't take very long before they garnished all my hard-earned pay. Then they repossessed my pickup truck and had it towed away. And then they up and seized my bank accounts as they auctioned off my family farm. And to keep me from proving my innocence, well, they shackled me in iron. Now let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now the truth about the IRS code is that it's fraudulently misapplied. Because the legal definition of taxpayer is exclusively derived. So all you agents of the evil IRS are in reality a bunch of thieves, who are working for the foreign bankers to bring America to her knees. So listen up, you international banksters, and all you traitorous congressmen, and all you low-down, lying, thieving, cheating lawyers, better leave the country while you can. When the people find out the truth about how the income tax is based on fraud, they're gonna rise up all across this nation. They're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. To use the famous words of Andy Jackson, we're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. And then it's gonna be dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong. We'll trample down their rights as we break inside their homes. We'll terrorize the sweet prize as we put the hard lean on. Yes, we're dangerous cause we're right and the government is wrong. Yes, we're dangerous cause we're right and the government is wrong.
With explicit reservation of all rights without prejudice per UCC 1-207.
Do you hear that, you very, very, very corrupt and crooked Merrick Garland? You need to repent. Do you hear that, Chris Ray? You need to repent. And all you Democrats up there, Nasty Pelosi, Chucky Schumer, let me tell you something. You don't get over on God. You don't get over on God. According to God's word, the Bible, what you're doing, according to God's word, the Bible, you have gone a-whoring. You have become whores, and according to God's word, the Bible, read Hebrews 12, verse 8, you are illegitimate, you become bastards. Did you understand what we're telling you this? This is what God says. This is what God has to say. Now, the only relief there is repentance. Repentance is, and you really need to do that. And you can never say that you were never told that. Chris Ray, you won't have a smirk on your face. The day will come, Chris Ray, that smirk will be wiped right off your face. All of you FBI agents out there, my advice to you, if you have any decency, any integrity, any honor at all left, God's word, the Bible says, to come out from amongst them, be you separate from them, or suffer the punishment with them. Now, that's what God has said. I want to ask you this. We talked about yesterday how my good friends, boy, when I think of Ted Gunderson and some of the others that were honorable men in the FBI, they were honorable. That's the days where they could look you in the eye. And, you had that feeling that I'm here to serve God and country. It's not that way. See, their children, for you FBI agents that are listening to me out there, their children were not ashamed to have their friends know that their father worked in the FBI. They were proud. Can you say that today? Think of the reputation that you have today. And think about this. Merrick Garland and Chris Ray, they put you in those positions. They put you. Are you going to continue doing their dirty work? Are you going to continue being nothing but cheap thugs? Going against the American people, violating the oath of that Constitution, knowing that you're going and you're harassing people whose shoestrings you're not worthy to tie because they're honorable people, people that were doing the right thing, godly people, and you are out there harassing them. I'm going to tell you, this pastor right here, this man that you're listening to right now, I don't recognize you as having any legitimacy left at all. And I tell you what it breaks my heart for, and I know there's still some agents out there, and they're sitting there and their head down, and they agree with me, and I feel bad for you out there that still hold to honor and integrity. But for you others, I've got no sympathy for you. Again, what you reap, you will sow. And I'm telling you now, you need to repent, turn away from that. Not only not follow the orders given to you, because your superiors are illegitimate. They are illegitimate. They have power but no authority according to God and according to the Constitution.
Right. Even the founders, when they wrote the Declaration, remember, we the representatives of the United States General Congress appealing to the supreme judge of the world, and they got that I think from Psalm 98 verse 9, the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. And in the beginning it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men can see them. All men are created equal. They are endowed by their creator, God, implying, with these unalienable rights. Unalienable means they cannot be taken away because they were given by God Almighty himself to us. And the FBI, they are messing with something far more powerful than they can imagine or understand. All those in the State Department, the IRS, the FBI, the Deep State, they're messing with God, and he is the one they will eventually answer to. It'll be in his time and his way, but they will answer, won't they?
Well, Chucky Schumer says that, and he warned President Trump, the President of the United States, who is the President of the United States today. He warned him, if you go against the intelligence agencies, they've got 6 ways to Sunday to get you. Well, Chucky Schumer, God doesn't need 6 ways. He's got 1 way, and it works every time, Chucky. And I'm going to tell you, Chucky, okay, you need to repent, or you're going to wish you had. You're a wicked, evil little man. You're an extremely wicked and evil little man, and you need to repent of that. You've harmed a lot of people, Chucky, a lot of people. And again, you guys in the FBI, you cowboys, and think You think it's funny. You're going in and raiding people's homes, destroying people's, going in there and pulling people out of their homes. Good people, much better, much people with much more integrity and honor and decency than you have in the middle of the night. Let me tell you something. What comes around goes around. And while you're out there doing that, don't be surprised someday if you're out there on one of these raids of decent people to come home and find that people have been fed up and they've just had enough and they've been to your house and done it to you. You see, the Bible says you'll reap what you sow. So you better think on that and think hard on that, because the American people are becoming more and more fed up. I was at that Tea Party meeting, and I can tell you, every single individual there, everyone recognized Donald Trump as the only legitimate president of this country. Now, I wanted to make a statement very quickly here. I want to give my sincerest. We have a good friend, a dear friend of mine, who has passed away, Jay Menifee. And I want to express my sincerest condolences to him and his family and his friends. Now, often you have heard me, Pastor Joe, quote from a book called Dear Pastor, Only You Can Rescue America. Jay wrote that book. In early 1970s, I hooked up with Jay and a few other men, and they started Northeast Ohio Roundtable, which was an organization to bring godly values back into our public school system and honor and decency and integrity. And he was a statesman. Jay Menifee was a statesman. He went home to be with the Lord last week. And calling hours for Jay will be Friday, August 12th from 4 to 7 for people here in Northeast Ohio. And the service is going to be held at 11 o'clock on August 13 with a luncheon to follow. And that'll be at the Parkside Church on Pettibone Road. Interment will be with Navy honors at Briar Hill, and that's on Fairmont Road, just west of 306. Tentatively planned for Saturday afternoon. And again, I want to say our most severe, the most sincere condolences is I had just gotten the news here, and, well, I kind of wasn't ready to get the news right here as it just popped up to me.
And the words just don't express how you feel. We've lost a warrior, lost a brother in Christ, a warrior, and a wonderful human being, and sometimes words just don't do it, do they?
No. Nope, you're right, Joe. Anyhow, there you go. Now, did we have Hal Warner? Is Hal Warner calling in? Okay. Yes. Bring Hal Warner up. Hal Warner, are you there?
Yes, I'm definitely here.
Well, why don't you tell the folks about what's going to take place tomorrow night there at the Heritage Club over at 19. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, hello, everybody. It's great to be on the air. My name is Hal G. Warner. I am the president of the Heritage Club of Northeast Ohio. We've had this association for many, many years. And tomorrow night, that'll be Thursday, 7 o'clock at 1945 Mentor Avenue, Painswood Township, where we're going to have a guest speaker and a very well-known topic here. His name is Neil Harrison. He is the owner of the Madison Shooting Range on Ford Road in Madison. And he will be, once again, our guest speaker. And, of course, Neil will be speaking the main topic of how important the Second Amendment is indeed and how it's been threatened. Neil teaches shooting, obviously, but he also teaches classes of how to properly use the gun and also of getting permits. So it will be an interesting meeting. If I still have a minute or two, we've had many, many well-known people, guest speakers. That's the second Thursday of every month at 1945 Mentor Avenue is what I was speaking about. We've had judges there. We have had American Cancer Society there. We've had commissioners, Lake County commissioners that have been there, treasurers, for instance, clerk of courts, Toys for Tots last Christmas. And once again, this is a Christian patriotic association, believing of the basic fundamentals of our Bible, also the basic fundamentals of our founding forefathers that brought forth upon this continent a new nation, one nation under God that is indeed being threatened this day and age. I wanted to mention about the event, Heritage Club of Northeast Ohio. This will be the Judea Christian Patriotic Rally, downtown Painesville, September 3rd. At Veterans Park at 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're going to have impersonators, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Betsy Ross, many Bible-believing churches, their members, pastors, one at a time, coming up to the gazebo and ringing out the gospel. We will have public officials, Bible-believing public officials, private citizens, patriotic Christian decorations on the gazebo, Christian American folk patriotic music. This will be our second event. There will be concessions there, and I'm asking for Christian soldiers to stand up and go forward. Come on down, Painesville City. It's a peaceful rally, standing up for the true patriotism and standing up for Christianity. Once for one, one for everyone. And God we bless.
Amen. Well, we're seeing a real movement. I can feel the spirit of 76, amongst people just being out and about. And people, there's this understanding. They're finally starting to grasp the fact that our freedoms are at risk. And I'm feeling and I'm hearing people that are ready to say, you know what, freedom's worth dying for. And so,
well, they did it once. Our true forefathers, and of course the men that came to this continent and formed it, they stood up and they fought. They died. They spent their money, blood, sweat, and tears. And the fact is that I hope to God our forefathers won't die and just purposely die in vain with the way this society is turning not only socialism, but it is desensitizing us to pre-communism, to communism in the near future. And we're seeing signs of communist China, Russia, North Korea, Venezuela. They're pointing, God only knows, at us. Our missiles.
Hal, that they're not our worst threat. Our worst threat's right here in Washington, D.C. It's called the Democratic Communist Party. That's our worst threat. They have infiltrated every avenue of our nation, every part of our government they have infiltrated. But you know what? There's still 100 million of us here in America that are armed and ready to stand, and we understand that freedom isn't free. It was bought and paid for with the blood of the patriots. And I'll tell you what, as the saying goes, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. And so,
yeah. If
you're not willing, if you're not willing to stand and fight for your freedom, you don't deserve a minute of it, not one. But thank you very much, Hal, and keep me informed. If I can make it out to any of those on that Saturday, I will make it out there if it's possible. But anyhow, thank you, and yeah, keep me informed, and I'll make those announcements for you guys, like we do around here, because we've got to fight. God bless, my friend.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone. Bye.
All right.
Let's be Christian soldiers. Bye-bye.
Hey, amen. You got it. All right. Very good. All right. Okay, getting back to, let's do some, that song that was sang there, It's Hard to Be Right When the Government is Wrong by Carl Klang. I just want to say, Carl, was a real patriot, a real patriot. He was one of those that was willing to go to the wall, and that's why I play so much of his music. He was a good friend and a real, real patriot. So, Joe, are you ready to do some lightning rounds?
Well, yeah, we've got to start with that story of the IRS put out a special agent job posting. Yes, they did. And it's causing quite a stir. And those of you out there, if you have not heard, there's a link to a job posting for criminal investigation special agents for the IRS, not the FBI. You think FBI? No, IRS. And it says a key requirement for applicants is that they have to be legally allowed to carry a firearm. And major duties include carry a firearm, be willing to use deadly force if necessary, be willing and able to participate in arrests, execution of search warrants, and other dangerous assignments according to the job posting. Requirement that agents for the IRS be willing to use deadly force. You know, job posting for CIA, FBI, federal marshals, yeah. IRS are auditors, they're accountants, and when we've got 87,000 new agents being hired, and most of them are going to be hired in this special agent, this is why we've told you before in this program about the hundreds of thousands of guns and the 5 million rounds of ammunition that the IRS has been buying up. It's to equip these 87,000 agents to be like armed federal marshals, armed FBI agents with the power to arrest, do search warrants. In other words, they're expanding the government's police state, where now the IRS will be larger than all those other agencies. What did we say the other night? The State Department, the FBI, several agencies altogether will not be as big as the IRS. We're becoming a police state. Believe it. It's true.
Well, first of all, Joe, this idea, okay, look, you've been hearing they're going to go after the billionaires. They're going to go after the billionaires. That's lies told by liars. That is a major, major lie told by major, major liars. I was laughing today watching when the echo chamber went into effect, and you turn the station and all the different PMS, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, all of them, the echo chamber was in full force, and they were all repeating the very same lie. Now, they call the lie the narrative. And they were all saying it wasn't a raid, it wasn't a raid, it wasn't a raid. Every one of these people are flat out liars. There's not one journalist, amongst the whole group of them. They are all flat out liars. And so here, this IRS, these people are out there to go after and to totally eliminate the middle class. You're going to have the 2% card-carrying communist leaders, and then you're going to have the proletariat. This is their goal, but it's not going to be easy, because there's a whole lot of us that said, again, we'd rather die on our feet than live on our knees, and we're not going to take up with it. And all you people too, you got to remember that too. You're in this country, all of you IRS agents. You're Obama's private army. You're Obama's special private army that he brought you in, that civilian army, more powerful than the military. And guess what? You have to live here. And if you're here, you have your families and your children. Guess what? You're going to be. And by the way, all you other Democrats out there, don't think that they're going to totally. All of you aren't. The whole ploy, all of you aren't worthy to get special favors like the Hillarys and to get away with murder like others. All of you other Democrats, they're going to turn on you, too. You better believe that. So,
well, Pastor, two things here. If you want to know what the future of something is, quite often you look at the past, correct?
Yeah.
Well, if we look at where most of the audits are, very few, 2 or 3%, are on those making lots of money. Most all of the audits are those making between $75,000 and $200,000. This is what's been the history of the IRS. And even if you look at those making $75,000 or less, there are a huge percent of the audits for those poor people who can't afford accountants, attorneys to defend, and they end up quite often losing their audits. So you look at what the IRS has done, and if you double their size and their power, then you know that they've got to go after, because most of the money is in that range of for the taxes from those making $75,000 to, I think it, I saw $250,000. So you know this is what they've done in the past. They're not going to change. These armed agents are not going after Elon Musk, armed FBI agents. They're going to go out and intimidate those who do not have that kind of money, who have a bank full of, you know, a group of attorneys to defend them. Use your brains. We've got to, this is going to be, the next few months are critical. The government is going to try and intimidate you every way possible. How? They're going to go after Trump and everybody associated with him. They're going to go after Congress critters like the congressman that got his phone. They are going to use intimidation to keep you from voting for conservatives, for people who want to go in there and, you know, get rid of the deep state, you know, stop this insanity, stop this government takeover of our nation. We used to be a constitutional republic. We are not. We are on the verge of being a socialist state. And remember the words of Thomas Paine. Pastor Ernie, you and I read this before, but he talks about those who profess to favor freedom, yet if they're not willing to stand, I'm going to paraphrase, if they're not willing to stand up and be counted, do something, well, he said this is going to be a struggle. It may be a moral one. It may be a physical struggle. It may be both, but it's got to be a struggle. Power concedes nothing without demand. It never did. It never will. If you find out just what the people will submit to, and you have found out the exact amount of injustice and wrong which will be opposed upon them, and these will continue. The government will continue until they are resisted either with words or blows or both. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of the people they oppress. There were very few truer words spoken by our founding fathers than those words.
Joe, what do you call it when a general vows to fight his commander-in-chief under cover, doing it from within, goes against his commander-in-chief? That is referred to as treason, high treason.
Right.
We're coming up to a break, and we'll find out about General Mark Milley. And we've been telling you about this guy for a long time, the one who wants to force critical race theory upon our soldiers. Him and Austin, who want to get rid of the best and the bravest, you know, and replace them with a weak, those who are destroying our military purposely. This is called high treason. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
First Franklin Financial is now open in Millington, offering fixed-rate personal loans up to $15,000 with payment plans to fit any budget. Our same-day approval makes it easy to get your money fast. So the next time you need a personal loan, we're located on Wilkinsville Road in Millington, or visit us at 1ffc.com. All loan terms and APRs depend on meeting our underwriting and income criteria and may require collateral. Same-day approval and funding requires all requested documents by noon. First Franklin Financial Corporation, NMLS 141654. Georgia Residential Mortgage License C5656. Not available in North Carolina.